I have never known of anyone who came to Christ later in life who was not sorry he did not come sooner. As we look back over our pre-conversion years, it is hard for some of us to believe that we were so blind to the truth. Well, in our lesson today, Jesus tells of those in his time who, though knowledgeable in the Scriptures, were ignorant of spiritual understanding. In John, the 5th chapter, verses 40 through 47, Christ comes to the conclusion of his address to his critics, the Pharisees. One cannot help but feel that divine power must have restrained these enemies of Christ as he spoke so pointedly of the evils of their wicked lives. In verse 40, our Lord condemned them for the rejection of him by saying, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Here Christ revealed the reason why lost souls are barred from heaven. They do not will to come to him. Now, there are many reasons that could be given for this: neglect, love of sin, unbelief, love for money, and many, many more. But basically, the lost go to eternal perdition simply because they refuse to come to Christ. Much of the force of our Lord's concluding remark to the Pharisees is lost in our English translation. Literally, he said, "Ye have no desire or inclination to come to me." Their hearts were filled with everything but a love and a concern for God. John 3:19 seems to fit so well with these words of our Lord. "Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." What was true of the Pharisees is true of many in our day. They offer shallow, groundless excuses. But the real reason why they have not come to Christ is that they do not want to come. They refuse to come. Next, our Lord told the Pharisees in verse 41, "I receive not honor from men." It was not for his own honor that our Lord came to this earth, but for the benefit of mankind. I read in Matthew 20, verse 28, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." God is not favored by our belief. He receives nothing by our obedience. We are the ones who benefit. Verse 42, "But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." You see, the Pharisees were cold and legalistic. Indeed, what our Lord said to these Pharisees could be said to many in our churches today. "Ye have not the love of God in you." It is possible to be scripturally correct, to be well-versed in the Bible, to be an earnest searcher of the truth, and yet to miss the important requisite for blessing: a heart filled to overflowing with the love of God. In verse 43, Jesus said, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive." The proof that the Pharisees did not love God was that they did not receive his Son. If they had truly loved God, they would have gladly welcomed Christ. Many public teachers had appeared, and they all had their following. But when Christ appeared, the Pharisees had nothing to do with him. Verse 44, "How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Much of what the Pharisees said and did was prompted by a desire to receive praise from men. You see, the Lord had said in Matthew 6, verses 1 and 5, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." And then I read over in Matthew 6, verse 6, "We are not to parade our worship before the eyes of men, for Jesus said, 'But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Much of the religious activity of the Pharisees was mere grandstand religion rather than sincerity of heart. The honor that cometh from God should be considered above all else. It is not what do others think about my beliefs, but how does God feel about them? Christ reminded the Pharisees of their unbelief in verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. You see, the Pharisees professed to believe Moses. Daily they read the Pentateuch. In the synagogue, they were always careful to read from the first five books of the law. Did they really believe Moses' writings? Verses 46 and 47. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Throughout the five books of Moses, Jesus Christ is seen repeatedly in prophecy, in types, in the sacrificial offerings, and in the ceremonial cleansing. Like many in our own day, the Pharisees knew nothing about this. Though they had read the law repeatedly, they had never seen Christ in these writings. They were blind to the truth. We read in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Our Lord bound the Old Testament to the New Testament and upheld the sacred Scriptures as God-breathed. Since the Bible is what God declares it to be, the Word of God, it is essential that we who profess to love Jesus Christ spend time in it studying its holy truths. The only safeguard we have for wickedness on the one hand and our foolish notions on the other is the truth of God's Word. How can I test the many false teachers that confront me every day of my life if I am not grounded in the Word of God? I cannot trust the voice of the church. She has too many voices. I cannot trust the voices of my friends. They change so frequently. I cannot even trust the voice of my own heart. It is so fanciful and deceitful. There is one voice only that is always the same. The Bible is the Word of God, not to be placed on a shelf, not to be kept in a drawer, not to become dust-covered, but to be read, received, and believed. Take time for God's Word. If you have no time for the Word of God, you have no time for Jesus Christ. For Jesus declared in Psalm 40, verse 7, in the volume of the book it is written of me. You find Christ all through the Bible. Do you want to know how to understand the Bible? Look for Jesus Christ. He is on every page. Look for him. He is there, and he wants to speak to your heart. Be a student of the Word of God. Do you know by reading three chapters a day and five on Sunday, you can read the Bible through once a year? It's a good practice. Try it and see. And God will speak to you and guide you from his holy word. If you've never taken Christ into your life, you will have no understanding of the Bible. It is God the Holy Spirit in the believer who unfolds the truth. You need Christ. If you've never received him, do it now. Heavenly Father, give us a love for your word that we may have a love for you. We thank you for the word. It keeps us from sin. It instructs us. It gives guidance. Help us to be men and women of the Word. And for those coming to Christ, meet them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.